Amen. We're lifting our hands toward heaven. We magnify the God of our salvation. And we honor him for who he is and how he continues to move and operate in our life. God, we bless you. In this moment, we give thanks to you. In this moment, we reverence and we honor you. And we thank you, Lord, that you've allowed us to gather together for this first Sunday of the new year in order that our discipline might be established, in order that our routine might be established, in order that we might make it clear to you, God, that we're serious about our relationship with you, that we're serious about our connectedness to you. God, we ask that you would pour out your spirit in this place, that as your word is being shared and it's taught and as revelation is being given, that our souls and our spirits would be fed and well nourished. We thank you, God, that you bind the plot, the plan of the enemy, that you take apart and you detach every fetter. You tear it apart, you rip it apart, every fetter, every shackle, every chain, every work of distraction and destruction that the adversary works in our life. We thank you, God, that you are rightly opposed to it. So now, God, give us an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. Remove arrogance, remove irritation, remove ignorance, remove ego. Give us an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to us, this church. We pray, God, that you would give us eyes to see. And we thank you, God, that all that you do it well. So do it in us. Do a good thing in us. Do a wow thing in us. Do a miraculous thing in us. And for this, we'll be careful to give your name the praise, the honor, and the glory. The people of God took those lifted hands, they put them together and said amen, amen, amen again. You may be seated. As you're being seated, throw the deuces up to somebody in the sanctuary and tell them it's good to see you in the house of God. Amen. Good to see you in the house of God. Sometimes we have to take self-assessment to determine the energy we bring to a thing. Amen, somebody. And our discipline this year is that we check ourselves at the door. And when I say check ourselves at the door, check ourselves before someone else has to check us. Yes? Somebody say my, my, my. We should always be self-reflective and always evaluate ourselves to ensure that we are in the proper perspective so as to not grieve and offend what God wants to do. Who wants to do that? Who wants to grieve the Holy Spirit? Who wants to offend the move and the flow that God wants to operate in order that God might manifest miracles, signs, and wonders, in order that God might manifest somebody's breakthrough? Who wants to get in the way of that? Somebody say mercy. Y'all didn't say it, say mercy. So we posture ourselves because it's a humble thing to do. At the beginning of the year, we iron out and we pull in proper perspective the way that we're going to go for the remainder of the year. And in doing that, we set ourselves up. Many people do New Year's resolutions. Some people plan out. And so we're going to talk about that to some degree. We're turning our attention to 1 Chronicles, the 29th chapter, verse 14. It's just one verse that I'm going to lift in your hearing, and then we'll go with the word. Somebody say amen for the word. In 1 Chronicles, the 29th chapter, verse 14, it says, "But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this?" Everything. Somebody say everything. Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from our hand. For a few moments, I want to dialogue along this topic. It's a song that goes along this way too. It says, money, 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 money. The song said, money, 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 money. Oh, see, y'all, y'all got it. Y'all got it. I want to begin by talking about finances. I want to talk about wealth. I want to begin the year talking about that because as we make our best plans, as we iron out our best plans, there are a few things that I want to make sure we have godly principle, thought, and idea about. So I want to talk to you today. Is that all right? All right. One of the things that I want to begin talking about when we deal with money from this perspective, do we have the right to possess money? Do we have the right to amass wealth? Is it appropriate? Is it okay? Is God fine with that? Or does God require of us a vow of poverty? Does God require that we sacrifice and that we are in a position, in a station of hurting, right, financially? And so with regard to do we have the right to get wealth, to amass wealth, the answer is yes. In Haggai, the second chapter, verse 8, the Bible says to us, "The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, declares the Lord." In order for us to understand our right to amass wealth, our right to get wealth, we have to have a healthy and accurate and a proper perspective about wealth. Somebody say amen. Amen. And the proper perspective, the proper attitude about wealth is that all money belongs to God. Somebody hears me. In Haggai, the second chapter, verse 8, it says, "The silver is mine, the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty." So from that biblical perspective, we, number one, recognize that wealth, money, finances is all owned by God. In Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, verse 18, my prayer is that you're taking notes. My prayer is that you are meditating on this. My prayer is that you're going to hit the rewind and you listen to this again, because my desire is that you prosper. God's desire is that you prosper. And if you take prosperity seriously, meaning prospering in your health, in your finances, in your relationships, amen, then you've got to take serious the word of God that speaks to this area so that you can meditate on it. Somebody say amen. And so in Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, verse 18, the Bible says, "But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today." So the first thing that we recognize with the question, do we have the right? Is it appropriate? Is it a God thing that we amass wealth, that we profit, and that we are well off financially, or that we have money? Amen, somebody. The first thing that we recognize is that all money, all wealth belongs to God. But then the second thing from Deuteronomy 8, the 8th chapter, verse 18, is that it is God who gives us the ability. Somebody say ability. Y'all didn't say it. Say ability. It is God who gives us the ability to produce wealth. So not only does wealth and finances and money belong to God, but then God, in relation to us, gives us the ability to produce wealth. In 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, verse 7, these are in context, I assure you. The Bible says, "For who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did not receive it, why do you boast as though you did not?" Everything we have, somebody say everything. The car we have, somebody say everything. The house we live in, somebody say everything. The apartment that we rent. The children that we've birthed. The money in our bank account. Everything we have, it was given to us. Somebody say thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, help the people to iron out proper perspective, correct perspective in regards to how we process that. Number one, we're clear that all money, all wealth, it belongs to God. And Deuteronomy let us know that it is God who gives us the ability to produce wealth. Amen. Virtual campus, I see you with us. And then 1 Corinthians 4:7 says to us, "What is it that we have that we did not receive?" God, I've got to come against that inaccurate perspective that says you got what you have by pulling up your own bootstraps and that you did it for yourself. You made it happen for yourself. God, I cancel it. I cancel that perspective that causes you to operate in error, the deceit of the adversary, to make you think that the money you got was because you did it by yourself. You ironed it out. You didn't need anyone's assistance. No one steered you in the right direction. No one educated you. No one trained you. No one equipped you. No one referred you. God help us. God help us to recognize that everything we have, it was because God hooked us up. Somebody turn to your neighbor and say, God hooked us up. God hooked me up. God hooked me up. Type it on the virtual campus. God hooked me. God hooked me up. So in 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, verse 17, God is clear that we are to command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything and for our enjoyment. We just recognize very clear, according to 1 Timothy, that God gives us wealth for our enjoyment. But we've got to be careful not to put our hope in money and not to put our hope in wealth, but to put our hope in the God who owns everything and who gives us the ability to attain everything so that we might have enjoyment. Somebody say amen. Well, I'm so glad that we're clear then that God, with regard to attaining wealth, God is for us having some money. God is for that. Somebody say God is for it. God is for you having some money. God is for you having wealth. God is for you having property. God is for you prospering. But in order for us to understand these things, there are three things that I want to draw your attention to. There are three things that I want to draw your attention to that causes us to produce wealth. What are three things that causes us to produce wealth? I'm so glad you asked. The first thing that causes us to produce wealth, here it is, God. It's a cuss word to some of us. Work. Somebody write that down on the tablets of your heart. Work. According to Proverbs, the 14th chapter, verse 23, the Bible says, all hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. If you want some money, go to work. If you want to prosper, go to work. If you want to amass wealth, go to work. How practical is that? Amen. God, I've got to dispel that deceit, that Disney myth that the adversary would have us to believe that somehow we can land on the right numbers, that somehow we can roll the right die, somehow somebody's going to drop a suitcase full of money, and that we won't have to do anything to amass wealth. The Bible is clear, Proverbs 14:23, all hard work brings a profit. If you want money, if you want to prosper, then work hard. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10 says, for even when we were with you, we gave you this rule, that the one who is unwilling to work should not eat. Right. Unwilling. The one who is unwilling to work should not eat. God help us. Proverbs 20, verse 4 says, sluggards and lazy persons who do not plow in the winter season, so at harvest time they find nothing. It's too cold to go to work. It's too hard out there. I got to put this resume together. I got to go get this training. I got to go get this car. Why can't I just stay with you, Mom? Why can't I just stay with you, Dad? Why can't I just hang out with you, big brother? Why can't I just know those who don't work don't eat, but then those who are sluggish to the plow, the Bible says, at harvest time, they look but find nothing. So the first thing, very clear, very simple, very plain. I'm so glad that you're listening very intently to amassing wealth, because God wants you to have wealth, is that you've got to get a job. Well, you've got to work. And I'm not boxing you in. God is not boxing you in to having to work a 9-to-5. God is not boxing you in to having to work in a way that is traditional. But God says, but you've got to do some work. Oh, no, that devil is a liar. If you think that you can just coast off of somebody else's labor, you can coast off of mama's labor, you can coast off of daddy's labor, you can coast off the prayers of this one and that one, and you just slide by. No, if you want to amass wealth and if you want to have something in your pocket, you've got to work. The second thing, God help us, the second thing in order to amass wealth, because God says it's okay, I want you to amass wealth. The second thing you've got to do, here it is, save. Somebody say, whew. The Bible says in Proverbs, the 21st chapter, verse 20, the wise store up choice food and olive oil, but the fool gulps theirs down. The wise recognizes that you should obtain particular things that's going to last you, that you've got to put it aside, put some out of purview, put some away. The wise store up choice things, resources, but the fool consumes their resources soon as they get it. The parable of the 10 virgins, when it was that the parable says that when the bridegroom comes, he's coming at a time and an hour when you know not, and so you ought to be prepared. And then the parable of the 10 virgins says that there were five who went and had their lamps trimmed and had their oils in stock, but there were five that were ill-prepared for that matter. And so the bridegroom was delayed, tarried in coming, so much so that the five ones, when they received word that the bridegroom was finally coming, the five who were not properly prepared, who did not save, who did not manage what they had, that five was not properly prepared, and thus they said, give us some of your oil. But the five said, no, we only have enough for us. You've got to go and find yourself some oil. And at the last minute, the five who were not prepared had to run out to try and get their oil together, but they missed the bridegroom because they did not properly save. So God says, I want you to have some money. I want you to have a couple dollars. God says, I want you to have wealth. I want you to have property. These things are fine. It is appropriate. But number one, you've got to work. Number two, you've got to save. Third thing, you've got to plan. Somebody say plan. Bible says in Proverbs 27th chapter, verses 23 through 34, be sure you know the condition of your flocks. Give careful attention to your herds, for riches do not endure forever, and a crown is not secure for all generations. The Living Bible says it this way: riches can disappear fast, and the king's crown doesn't stay on his family forever. So watch your business interests closely. Know the state of your flocks and your herds. You've got to plan. Why is it that at the beginning of the year, we write down our plan? Why is it at the beginning of the year, we come up with resolutions for the new year? Because it is a major important role in our life. In Proverbs, the 24th chapter, verses 3 through 4, it says, by wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. Through knowledge its rooms are filled with rare and with beautiful treasures. We've got to recognize that God has called us to plan. There's a saying that says, if you fail to plan, then you plan to fail. You've got to recognize that in order for you to operate with the joy that God desires you to have from your wealth, you've got to sit your busybody ADHD self down and write out your plan. And we frustrated because we say, I don't get to travel. You didn't sit down and you ain't plan it out. I see on Facebook, brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so always going this place and they always going that place. But here I am because we don't want, you ain't planning nothing. And you mad. We salty. And you know, that's a nice car. I mean, I wish I had me a nice car. You could have one if you sit down and you plan it out. These neighbors tap on my last nerve. You got to sit down, plan out where everybody living and moving to, and then you move somewhere else. You got to plan it out. The beginning of the year matters so much to us. Why? Come on, virtual campus. I know y'all with me. I see the hard stars and I see the lights. Thank you. You've got to recognize that in order for you to enjoy the thing that God wants you to have with wealth, in order for you to enjoy it, you've got to sit yourself down and you've got to write it out. You've got to start first by saying, what are my obligations? What do I owe? You've got to write down your obligations and write down what you owe. Then you've got to write down to yourself, what is your goal? What is something that I want to do nice for myself? You've got to write that down. Then where is it that I want to go nice? Some place that I would love to experience. You've got to write that thing down. Then you've got to say, what goal do I have that I want to consider? You've got to write that down. And then you've got to attach costs to that so that you can understand what it will cost in order for you to do the plan that you have written. And then you've got to go to work. You've got to go to work so that you can amass wealth. Not go to work. That means you've got to put a skill down and you've got to enact a skill. Put yourself to work so that you can amass wealth. You can get wealth and then save as well as spending so that you can work the plan that you have written. But that ancient enemy called lack, works against our faith and our hope in order that we might be able to be able to prosper. So I want to talk about the lack test for just a moment. Why is it that I'm not able to travel? Why is it that my bank account stays in the red? Why is it that I'm not able to prosper just like I see other persons prospering? Here's the first thing in the lack test: stinginess. Oh, y'all, Bethel talking back to me in person. I know y'all better talk back to me on the virtual campus. They talking back. Stinginess. Proverbs, the 11th chapter, verse 24 says, one person gives freely, yet gains even more. Yet another one holds unduly, but comes to poverty. Stinginess. Closed fistedness. Here it is that God calls us to generosity. God calls us to bring ye the tithe into the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house. God calls us to give to those in need when they ask. But some of us have been tricked by a stingy spirit and we have these closed fists that are so tight that even if a person squeezed butter in your fist, they can't get anything out of your fist. Stinginess, Proverbs says. Well. And it's not right for you to be stingy because that which you are clenching onto is not yours in the first place. Because everything belongs to. Maybe I'm suffering in lack because of some stinginess. That dirty devil snuck in, tricked me to make me think that this was actually mine. That this money was actually mine, this house was actually mine, this car was actually mine. And as a result, I'm holding on to this thing and I'm being stingy. Maybe that's why there's lack in my life. The second thing, hastiness. Maybe I'm suffering, Brother Arthur, in lack because of hastiness. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 5 says, the plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty. The fact that you refuse to sit yourself down and plan it out, maybe that's why for the previous years you were wrestling with lack. And you sitting here mad at God? You mad because you feel like you didn't have the hookup with the particular job? You mad because nobody gave you the money and so forth and so on? Because you refuse to plan it out? Because you figure, oh, I'll just go out for how I feel. Knowing that depending on how the stars are aligned and if Mars is in retrograde, you're going to be crazy that day. You better not go off of how you feel. You better write your plan down and prosper as God desires for you to prosper. Yes. Hastiness. I'm going to just jump into this venture. Somebody come along with a, help me, Jesus, don't, I hope nobody get mad, with a pyramid scheme. Talking about some, you get five people, and then those five people will get five people, and then those five people will get five people. Whoever get the top get the payoff. Tricking the people of God. I ain't telling you what I heard. I tell you what I know. I've been there. I've done that. No more, devil. No more. Even my son sets free. You better set out and write out your plan. Because hastiness, you haven't thought it out. You haven't slept on it. You haven't prayed about it. But just because you see this person is doing this and driving that, you want to jump on in and just run with hastiness. Proverbs 21 verse 5 says leads to poverty. Maybe number three, I'm dealing with lack because of stubbornness. Proverbs 13 verse 8, a person's riches may ransom their life, save their life, but the poor cannot respond to threatening rebukes. Stubborn. God trying to get you from point A to point Z, but you're so stubborn because this is how I've always done it. This is how I used to do it. I do it this way. I keep it this way. No, I don't want to hear that God is saying, bring ye the tithe into the storehouse. No, I don't want to hear that God is saying, save my money. I don't want to hear that God is saying, get a job. I don't want to hear God is saying, make out a plan, sit down and write it out. I'm going to do it the way I've always been doing it, stubborn self. And then we frustrated. Shh, it's quiet. Next piece. I'm almost done. I'm getting out your way. Two more things to test with this lack test. Indulgence. Number four. One, two, three, four. No, that was four. Indulgence. For drunkards and gluttons become poor, and drowsiness clothes them in rags. Indulgence, overindulgence means you don't get your share. You got to have more. And I'm about to tell you, because this passed down in my lineage, I'm a sucker for sales. Oh, God, help me. I feel like the door is open. If I don't get it now, oh, my gosh. Y'all don't be too serious. I'm trying to help you at the beginning of the year. I'm a sucker for a sale. I promise you, I don't need it. I wasn't thinking of it, but I happened to be walking down the aisle and the door was open. And if I don't get it now, that devil got me, y'all. He got me. But he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Indulgence will cause you to go broke. That money that I thought I had, I looked in my account at the end of the month, Sister Linda, that money was gone. Because some sales creeped up on me. Jesus, help me. And can I tell you, Brother Craig, I got stuff with the tag on it in the closet that I still ain't wear. The devil got me. And in this winter season, y'all know I expand in the winter and I can't fit it because I'm hopeful in the summer because we sweat it out. Jesus, help me. I'm hoping y'all get delivered because I stays away when the sales come around. I'm trying to help y'all. Indulgence, meaning it's okay to go to the store and buy you something nice. It's okay to go and have fellowship with friends and family. But don't you indulge. Don't you overindulge. It will become a leech. It will become a hole in your pocket. And it will bleed you of the wealth that you amass. Some of us get that check on Friday and the check is gone by Sunday. Because you spent it on Saturday at the bar and at the club trying to impress somebody whose number you did not get. And now you on Facebook and Instagram trying to find them, hoping that somehow you can make a connection happen. Spent all your money. Spent your bread money. Spent your milk money. Spent your electricity money. God help us. Overindulgence. Laziness. Number five. Laziness. Proverbs 20 verse 13 says, do not love sleep or you will grow poor. Do not love sleep, or you will grow poor. Stay awake, and you will have food to spare, more than enough. Now, I'm going to be very clear. This is not saying turn your back on your 8 hours, because you got to get your 8 hours. But what it's speaking to is laziness. Those people who just chilling in the bed, binge watching your television programs, catching up on your TV shows with your and you could. There's a shift you could pick up. But you gonna stay in the bed? No, I'ma just stay here. You didn't amass wealth because you were lazy. And then you gonna call up auntie and godmom and godpop or cousin or brother and say, "Can let me borrow a couple dollars this month? I'm a little short." Well, why are you short? Help me, Jesus. Last but not least, craftiness. Proverbs 28, verse 19. Those who work their land will have abundant food, but those who chase fantasies will have their fill of poverty. Again, pyramid schemes and things like that. People chasing after a dream, trying to find creative ways to do and to amass wealth at the cost of somebody else. Somebody else's blood, sweat, and tears, and you trying to profit off of them. Scheming, craftiness. You create the little devices that you put at the gas pump. So when somebody put their little card in to get them some gas, then you read the number. So then you take and lift the credit card number so that you can go and buy stuff and use stuff. That's called crafty, yes. Now, I know they do that in Buffalo. They did it in Philly, but I know they don't look at me strange. I know people craft some crazy stuff to steal your money. And then they send you emails, and that's why some of you don't want to be on Facebook now, and some of you don't want to be on certain things, because you're not hip to craftiness, to how crafty the devil can be. And then some people calling your phone, talking about some, it's your opportunity to go ahead and get extra money from working at home. All you got to do is just give me your bank statement, give me your routing number, give me your checking account number, and we'll get some money to you. Don't you let the devil trick you. Don't you fall prey to craftiness. Don't you in that craftiness, but don't you fall prey to craftiness. Amen. Proverbs 28:19 says, but those who chase fantasies will have their fill of poverty. God, three things to amass wealth. God says with regard to money, I want you to have money. I want you to have wealth. I want you to have money. I want you to have wealth. I want you, according to 1 Timothy 6:17, to take that which God richly provides so that you can have it for your enjoyment. But to have that, number one, you've got to work. Amen. Number two, you've got to save. Yeah. Number three, you have to plan. I remember somebody said one time, you know, we got big goals this year as a church at the church conference, right? We've got big goals, big dreams, but you know, we've only got but so much money, right? God says, I want you to have. God says, I don't want you to operate with a lack mentality. I want you to have. And in order for you to have, you can accomplish anything you set your mind to. You can go and don't count yourself out. Don't write yourself off. Don't say, oh, that we're small in our own eyes. That was the sin of the 10 spies when it was that Moses sent 12 spies out to check out the promised land. And only two of them came back with a favorable report, Joshua and Caleb. But the other 10 spies said that we are small in our own eyes. Those inhabitants are too big. It says it's too big. It's too much for us. We can't accomplish that. But the two spies, Joshua and Caleb, says, oh, God is with us. God is on our side. We can accomplish it. The promise that God has for us, that we would be above and not beneath the head and not the tail, that we would be the lender and not the borrower, that we would prosper in all good health, and that all those things that God has reserved for us, it belongs to us. Those two spies says that God is for us. We can have it. It is our portion. It has been reserved for us. God says it is yours. But you cannot allow yourself to have a piss poor mentality and perspective about money, about finances, about wealth, about material things, because God says, I want you to have it. God says, I bless you to be a blessing. But you've got to have that right perspective. That money is not yours. When you work and you get money and you say you earned this, no, thank you, Lord. You made a way for me to even have something to work, to amass wealth. When you have the right perspective, y'all, you start sewing up the holes that are in your pocket where the money keeps falling through. When you start having the correct perspective, you start etching out some of those crafty people that try to devise ways and plans to creep in and take as a leech, suck on you all the resources that God has given you to amass. When you have the proper perspective, it's not mine. That was what we started off with in 1 Chronicles 29, verse 14. But who am I, O Lord, and my people, that we should be able to give generously as this? For everything comes from you, and all that we have given, it has because you have provided it. We are Christians. We are sons of God, daughters of God, the children of God. There is a way that seemeth right to man, but the end thereof is death. But there is a way that leads to life and righteousness. And it is through our discipline. It is through giving God our ear and turning our attention to him. Y'all, God wants you to prosper. But you've got to work, save, and plan. Everybody standing. Money is not a bad thing. We're going to cover that in another sermon at some point in the future. The love of money is the bad thing. God says, I have ordained and given right for you to amass wealth. I'm all right with that. God says, I'm cool with that because it's all mine and I want my children to have it. I want my children to use it because I can trust my children. I can trust my children not to love money. I can trust my children not to be governed by some money. I can trust my children not to trip on some money. I can trust my children because they will grow, they will develop, and they will learn that money is just a trust. And they are stewards over it in order that they might find enjoyment, in order that they might do the things that the kingdom needs. So if you're here today and you're outside of the fellowship of believers, I want to invite you to join the body of Christ. If you don't have a church home, I want to invite you to join Bethel. If you're watching by way of the virtual campus, I want to invite you to join up. As all you have to do is type it in the chat. Let us know, reach out to us. Don't let the devil continue to deceive us and trick us into being stingy and all those other vices that we listed that result in our lack. But let us be liberated wherewith by Christ that set us free. Don't trip on it. Don't trip on no money. Let us pray. Gracious God, I thank you that you have blessed us to prosper in the earth. That through our prosperity, dear God, we are able to do the work of the kingdom and we are able to enjoy life ourselves. We are able to be a blessing to those in need. So I pray now, God, is that you would extricate, remove from our thinking every unhealthy, inaccurate, and improper perspective about money, about things, about material things, so that we don't get in our own way, and empower us to be liberated so that it doesn't become an impediment to us and a stumbling block, but that in actuality, we will take up our seats of authority in the earth. We trust your plan. It's in Jesus' name I pray. The people of God said amen, amen, amen. Sister VC.
Thank God for allowing us to experience the start of a new year. Also, we thank God for the opportunity to demonstrate our gratitude in lieu of many, many blessings God has bestowed upon us. Truly, we are blessed. For those attending the virtual campus, the electronic way of giving is now appearing on the screen. If using Cash App, simply use the cash tag, $BethelBuffalo. For Give Life, simply search Bethel Buffalo. For PayPal, use the church's email address. That's BethelBuffalo@yahoo.com. Lastly, you may email us at 1525 Michigan Avenue, Buffalo, New York, 14209. The Bible says, share, ask, and you shall receive. Do not grow weary in well-doing. You will reap a harvest of blessing if you faint not. Please consider partnering with us. God is reviving us. Your tithes and offering of support is needed and welcome. Our prayer. Lord, bless the giver. Also bless those who may not have been able to give at this time. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have not already done so, please go ahead and give electronically. For those present in this sanctuary, after the benediction, please place your tithes and offering in the basket held by the ushers at the back of the doors to the sanctuary. Thank you.
Will we please stand for the affirmation of faith together? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sit at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Church universal, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Our general confession. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, maker of all things, judge of all people, we acknowledge and bewail our manifold sins and wickedness, which we from time to time most grievously have committed by thought, word, and deed against your divine majesty, provoking most justly your wrath and indignation against us. We do earnestly repent and are heartily sorry for these our misdoings. The remembrance of them is grievous unto us. Have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father, for your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may ever hereafter serve and please you in the newness of life, to the honor and glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Has everyone received their communion? Everyone has it? Yes? Let us prepare our communion now by opening that up. The wafer and the cup. The wafer represents the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, how it was broken on our behalf and for us. The cup represents his shed blood, shed on Calvary's cross for all of us for the remission of sins. As we prepare to take communion, God calls that we who are in love and charity with our neighbor, that we come together, because love is the ethic that binds us together as the people of God. So as we're growing in faith, we come together in communion with each other, and we're loving on each other and fellowshipping with each other and demonstrating that. The adversary works to sow dissension, hatred, anger, resentment in us. Let us look to the Lord so that we might pray regarding that. God, I pray now in the name of Jesus that whatever impediment, whatever alt, whatever thing exists in us that causes us to have resentment, hatred, and pain against a loved one or a neighbor, I pray in the name of Jesus that you embolden us to release, to forgive, and to move forward so as to not have this as an impediment and a stumbling block in our life. Liberate us that we might love them again, cover them again, and operate in fellowship with them again. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The wafer we take, we break it in our hand because his body was broken, and we receive it. And the cup representing his shed blood, we take and we drink as we take on his mission, his life's purpose as our own. Having done this, we renew our covenant with the Master until we shall return again in the next 30 days in fellowship with each other. Our music ministry is going to lift up a selection now as we prepare to leave. We prepare our tithes and our offering, and we're going to go ahead out the sideways, and we're going to put our tithes and offering in the basket. And for those watching by way of the virtual campus, thank you so much for giving your support. Thank you, Reverend, for giving your support to us and of us so that we might continue to do the work of the Lord. Y'all, I want you to leave church today. Take yourself home and you write out your plan, and you let God demonstrate how awesome God will be this year for you. All right. Don't go. Don't go willy-nilly with it. You sit down and you write out your plan. Children, you write out your plan. Teenagers, you write out your plan. Adults, you write out your plan. You write it out and you make sure you have the proper perspective that everything is God's and that you are only but a steward and a trust of that. And so let us remember our commitment to God in that order. Music ministry, come on, let's lift up this song. And remember, God loves you, so do I. Give me my fist bump. You are dismissed. Amen.